KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, fog, a little drizzle, and it's 62 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. A reminder, a dense fog advisory remains in effect for a portion of the listening area until 9 a.m. That does include Cass, Adair, Adams, and Audubon counties locally. Visibilities are expected to be below 1/4 mile and near zero at times until the fog begins to burn off. In the news, following the approval by the Atlantic City Council last evening of City Administrator Doug Harris's resignation and severance package, and the subsequent vote to appoint John Lund as interim city administrator, Lund spoke about the man who hired him a little more than 3 years ago and the suggestion by Mayor Dave Jones that he be trained for the position.
With all due respect to the mayor, I don't believe I need any training. I've been in training for 3.5 years under a man sitting right across from me. Doug, I intend to honor your legacy, and I'm inspired by your class and integrity. And I'm deeply grateful for your mentorship, even at times where I was stubborn and wasn't listening. But I still appreciated it.
Lund said he hopes moving forward that he has an opportunity to prove that he's worthy of serving the community and that the city deserves nothing less than absolute transparency. In his final report to the council, Doug Harris reported a development company out of Cedar Rapids is interested in investing in Atlantic's downtown area, such as the Old Whitney Hotel.
Bring in their architects and look at it, and their preliminary figures thought it'd be in the neighborhood of $7 million to renovate. That would be quite a project, looking at apartments on the upper floors and a restaurant and a sports bar on the first floor. They're still going through their deliberation phase, and they want to keep this somewhat in terms of them and some of the conditions under wraps until they progress further.
Harris said there is a real potential to see real revitalization and investments in our downtown, but he said potential investors have concerns over the owners of other buildings not improving the facade of those structures. He said that's where the city's minimum maintenance code and tax abatements come into play. By providing business owners the incentives and a chance to improve the look of their buildings and or turning the second floors into apartments, he said he recommends the council focus on the opportunities to preserve and revitalize the downtown area as opposed to incentivizing businesses that build up on the outskirts.
I would just like to thank the mayor and the council for the opportunity to serve you and the public. It's a great community. We don't plan on going anywhere. but we'll be around, thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
Well, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday moved to support plans by the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, to include a former dry cleaner site as a National Priorities List, or NPL, site, thereby making it possible for the agency to use Superfund monies for the cleanup costs. Susan Fisher with the EPA's Region 7 office in Kansas City says for the past several years, the agency has been assessing the groundwater in Atlantic and found one area in particular to be contaminated with tetrachloroethylene.
Typically, we call that PCE. PCE is typically found in a dry cleaner solvent. Back in the 1980s, 70s, they used PCE in their dry cleaning solvent. They still use it today, but back then they weren't under any laws to make sure and not dump that PCE down the drain or in the back door.
The source of the contamination is believed to be the former Norge dry cleaners facility, which was located in a lot on the southeast side of 7th and Plum Streets. Neither the City of Atlantic nor Atlantic Municipal Utilities will have any financial obligation costs for the removal of the contamination, which flows in an underground plume north toward Troublesome Creek.
The PCE starts in the soil, and it goes down through the soil layers into the groundwater and into this layer called the Dakota Sandstone. Through all these layers, it is traveling down gradient.
Fisher says the first phase or removal, the EPA wants to use technology at the source of the contamination that causes the PCE to heat up and vaporize prior to being collected from the soil. The next phase, called remedial, is to remove the PCE from the groundwater by dissolution.
Remedial action is a little bit longer term to get rid of that groundwater, that dissolve phase groundwater. And we're proposing to put some interceptor wells to pump the dissolve phase out of the ground, treat it, and put the water back in the ground. So basically, it will take the PCE out of the groundwater.
The remedial phase will take several years to complete. The cost of the cleanup is estimated at $1.5 million. Atlantic Municipal Utilities has operated and maintained an interceptor well since 1980 to keep the resulting underground plume migrating from the contamination site from the impacting the municipal water supply well field. Earlier this week, AMU General Manager Steve Chepke said the utility company continues to perform testing on a monthly basis to monitor the public drinking water supply wells to ensure the water does not become contaminated with PCE. He also said AMU is working closely with the EPA and Iowa DNR as they continue their assessment to encourage cleanup efforts for the site. The City Council in Walnut will hold a public hearing this evening on a proposed application for a Community Development Block Grant, or CDBG, pertaining to downtown revitalization. Later on during the session, the Council will hold discussion about a possible streetscape enhancement project, and they'll hear from Matt Roth of the Metropolitan Area Planning Agency with regard to the submission of the CDBG application and additional discussion on the matter. Afterward, the Council will consider and likely act on the adoption of a resolution demonstrating local support and participation in a CDBG downtown revitalization grant application and an application for city's funds, along with the commitment of local funds for the project. In other business, the Walnut City Council will hear from SWPCO's Jeremy Middens with regard to the submission of a CDBG application on behalf of a Walnut housing rehabilitation program. They'll also act on a request to close a street in conjunction with the September 19th through 25th Walnut Antique Festival. The first reading of several ordinances will be held as well. Included among them, an amendment to the city's code of ordinances with regard to the addition of vapor products and alternative nicotine products, amended provisions pertaining to off-road utility vehicles, and the first reading of an ordinance amended pertaining to persons under legal age as social hosts. In other discussion, the Council will hear about Operation Edith and the Fire Station Open House, which is set for 6:30 p.m. on October the 8th, and the Fireman's Fun Fest set for Sunday, October 19th. The Walnut City Council meeting begins this evening at 5 o'clock in their chambers at City Hall. A woman from Slater was injured during an accident Wednesday morning in Pottawatomie County. The Iowa State Patrol said yesterday 70-year-old Mary Crawford suffered minor injuries but did not require transport to the hospital. The accident happened on Interstate 680 at around 10:46 a.m. Officials say Crawford was traveling eastbound in a 1999 Oldsmobile Intrigue when she swerved to avoid a semi-tire rim on the road. Her vehicle hit the rim and was disabled before coming to rest on the right shoulder of the interstate. A Creston man was arrested Wednesday evening on a public intoxication charge. Authorities say 54-year-old Thomas Mullins was taken into custody just before 6 p.m. and brought to the Union County Jail, where he was held on $300 bond. The Creston Police Department says two people were arrested on separate charges. Early Wednesday morning, 46-year-old John Eric Musselman of Osceola was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for simple assault. Musselman was later released on $300 bond. And Tuesday evening, 42-year-old Nicole Annette Hoffman of Winterset was arrested in Des Moines on a Union County warrant for probation violation. Hoffman was being held in the Ringgold County Jail pending an appearance before the magistrate. In addition, the Creston PD says a resident in the 1300 block of North Cherry Street reported Tuesday that someone had taken a trailer from his residence. The theft took place sometime between 8 a.m. September 23rd and 8 a.m. on the 29th. The loss was estimated at $1,000. A traffic stop in Montgomery County Wednesday morning resulted in a woman being arrested on drug charges. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office says a Ford Explorer running without license plates was pulled over on Highway 71 just outside of Villisca. Upon further investigation, the driver and registered owner, 38-year-old Misty Herring of Villisca, was found to allegedly be in possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. Herring was booked into Montgomery County Jail on the possession charges. Her bond was set at $1,000. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Henson reporting.